Ladies and gentle nerds, this is the Couch Co-op Podcast, episode number 23. I'm your showrunner, Joe Nixon, and with me, the showstopper, Casey Tapp. Say hello.
Hello,
this
guys.
This is how it works.
I'm sorry.
23 episodes
in.
A
little bit behind the scenes, I'm still, I can't. It's just funny. All right. Anyways.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
You got your finger pricked this morning?
Yeah, I had to go to the doctor.
Yeah, it's fine.
And, but it's, you know, having your finger pricked is a little bit better than getting stuck with a couple of needles.
It's true. It's true. You're just like a walking medical bill nowadays.
Yeah. Well, the past like 2 months for sure. Throwing up sick 1 week, missed a podcast, and then I had to go do my physical, you know, with the cough test and all that. So that was
fun stuff.
Fun stuff.
Before we get too crazy, since I'm wired in, can you grab me a coaster real quick so it doesn't make a clicking sound? Oh, it's right there.
I don't think it's going to fit, though. Yeah, let's not. That's dangerous.
Okay. I'll keep us entertained for a little bit. Oh, yeah, there we go. So, we realized last week that when we read the news, it's basically just the hit list anyway.
Yeah.
So, we might as well just intro it before we start it.
It just gives it a name.
Yeah.
You could say this is the news, but
yeah,
not as fun.
The news.
The news.
So
a breaking report.
Yeah. All right. So we're gonna start the show off. Start the show off. We're gonna start the show off with the hit list.
The hit list.
A little delay there.
It's okay.
We have 4 things to talk about today. 4 targets on the hit list.
Hey, what is that?
First one, Wolfenstein The New Order is getting its own standalone prequel DLC type of thing. I think it's downloadable even if you don't have the game. Not sure about that, though. But
I hear that game's really good.
Yeah, I really need to play it. Like, a lot of people are saying it's like some of the best first-person shooting in a video game. Like, everything is just legitimately awesome. But it's called Wolfenstein The Old Blood, and it takes place at Castle... I can't freaking talk.
Are you good? Do you want me to do the...
No, I got this. It takes place at Castle Wolfenstein, and like, you basically go through and pick up Germans. It's a prequel to The New Order.
Oh, we had to shoot Germans now.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds like fun.
It's World War II. it's World War II fan fiction. That's how the
I just watched Fury the other day. We rented it, and Amanda was like, "This is really bloody."
You rented it, and I still didn't get to watch it?
I left it on the couch for you.
Is it still here?
I don't think so. Actually, it might be. I don't think she took it back to Redbox yet, but we'll have to ask her. Good movie.
Because I need to watch that.
Good movie.
But yeah, it's May 5th is when it comes out. So
we should probably get our hands on a copy of that.
Yeah, I really want to play it. They say it's super fun. The story's cool. Atmosphere's cool. So, and you know I love that World War II fanfic. So
yeah, I got you. Yeah, I like that kind of stuff too. It's I mean, you just did The Order.
Yeah.
That's kind of old-timey.
Old school, yeah. But I'd kind of like to see more World War II games. It's been a while since we've had, like, a legitimately good World War II game. Like, they kind of died out there in, like, 2006 or something like that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to go towards, like, the new
modern
generation.
Warfare. Modern Warfare killed it, man.
All these young kids that they want like this technology in their video games. Like,
yeah.
What happened to the basics, man? The M1 Grand and all that good stuff.
And you just stick a grenade on the end of it and shoot it as a launcher. Yeah. Do you remember Medal of Honor Airborne and how amazing that game was?
I wasn't ever really a big Medal of Honor fan. I did a lot of the Call of Duties. But I think I played that one a little bit. I know I watched you play like
you
straight
jump out of the
through
plane.
That thing once or twice.
Yeah.
And you try to land in the bell tower.
Yeah. That game is so good. Like, it's just... It's what I wish, like, single player...
We have old consoles!
it's what I wish single player first-person shooters would do sometimes. Like, hey, We're going to drop you in this map. Free roam. Do the objectives. Like, that's a really neat way to set up a game like that. Because you get to pick and choose how you're going to do everything, and it's fantastic. You feel smart whenever you pull it off, and because they didn't hold your hand through the entire thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyways, Wolfenstein, The Old Blood, May 5th, right? Yeah, May 5th. Next up, this one's pretty huge. Rock Band 4 has been confirmed for Xbox One and PS4.
Yes! You know what? Like, there is not a game other than, like, maybe Halo that we spent more time playing as a group in my parents' living room than Rock Band.
Rock Band, like...
And although I am horrible at that game,
oh yeah,
I mean, is so much fun.
Like, those games were huge when they came out. Yeah. I mean, obviously, they made three of them in, like, the span of 3 years or something.
Well, they
like that.
They made all the Guitar Heroes, and then, what is it, like, Guitar Hero 2, they made Rock Band.
Yeah.
And then Rock Band 2 came out with Guitar Hero 3 and all that. And
yeah.
Like, and then it was a competition.
Mm-hmm. But, man, this is crazy. It's going to be, like...
It's going to be fun.
Super nostalgic.
And we have a bigger apartment now, so we can actually set everything up.
Oh, man. It's going to be interesting. But, I saw a funny article... And it said...
Let me see that paper right there.
And it said that even though that they're using next-gen technology, guitar straps will still not be in the game because they're too hard to render.
They're not going to put guitar straps in the game?
They've never had guitar straps in any of the games. And so a fan asked them or something, and he responded with, you know, you have to put in account the relation to the strap to the person and the instrument. It's a lot to compute, so they're just not going to do it.
It's kind of sad.
RIP guitar strap.
I feel like all these other video games can do, like, gun straps and stuff, but...
No, most of the time they're invisible. Like, on Metal Gear Ground Zeroes, like, your gun flops around like it has a strap, but there's none there. It's just because, like, that tiny piece of fabric is just really hard to render, apparently. Mm. So,
well, they need to get with Destiny then and figure out how they did the capes.
Mm. Well, it's different though because it's not free flowing. Like, there's tension. And
well, but I'm saying, like, the thinness of it.
Oh yeah,
like, they did a good job at, like, figuring out how to make it.
Yeah. So yeah, Rock Band 4. Let me see if I don't think they've announced, but it's coming this year, is what they said.
Whoa! Hold on. Because I don't see it on this...
There's just 2015, like, late 2015.
I don't see it on this GameStop official pre-order page that I have here.
That was not a sponsor. He just said GameStop.
They just always give me a paper.
That'd be
like,
cool.
You want to pre-order anything? No, it's okay. No. Well, let me give you this paper anyway.
Let me give you an encyclopedia of the games coming out.
And he was like...
It's like, I can't shop in peace anymore.
He was like... Do you have both consoles? I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, let me get you both papers. I was like, well, all right then.
Gosh, so annoying.
Thank you, sir. Kind sir.
You know what I would do if he did that? I would take him, I would rip it in half. I said, the internet, and just walk out. Like, you don't need to give me this stack of stupid papers.
It's two pieces of paper.
Whatever. It's still pointless.
In today's society, two pieces of paper is a stack.
Is a stack.
I don't need two pieces of paper.
Exactly. Good day, sir. Just walk out. Gosh, GameStop boils my blood sometimes.
You go grab a mic off the wall and just drop it on the ground.
Or a headset. Yeah. So yeah, Rock Band 4. What are some songs that need to be in Rock Band that weren't?
Well, basically, the entire Taylor Swift album needs to be in there.
That's... I'd rock that hard.
I would, dude.
Yeah.
It's the catchy songs that are the fun ones.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Even if you're like, you know, your buddies come in and they're like, are you playing Taylor Swift?
Duh.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, Say It Ain't So was one of the first songs.
A lot of the Weezer songs were good. Yeah, they put a bunch in there.
Well, it's because Weezer is just awesome.
Oh, God, here we go.
Rep the Weezer. Woo! that's the Weezer call sign.
He's throwing up a W right now.
With two wings. So It's like, anyways,
it's like two guns, man.
They really do need to put more Led Zeppelin songs in there, though.
Yeah, for sure. That's one thing. Like, I think when they started getting towards the end of
it was all contemporary stuff.
They started doing a lot more like new stuff, like that. They didn't really have a lot of the old rock songs anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like
that was Guitar Hero's realm was the classic rock.
Well, but they also covered a lot of like, but between all of the games, yeah, that they, like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, mm, they had what, five of them?
Yeah.
They basically covered all of the old rock songs.
Or six.
Like the popular ones, at yeah, least. Like the ones that everybody really want to play. Now, I know that there's a lot of other, you know, really good rock songs, yeah, that are old ones. But like the ones that kids would buy to play,
mm-hmm,
there's not that many. Yeah, yeah, like they're like, what is this song? So you got to put like the really popular ones in there or else they're not going to get it.
Yeah.
But
good old Rock Band, man. It's going to be interesting.
It's pretty good.
I'm more interested in seeing if the consumers are ready for this skin. Because, you know, they got burnt out on it pretty quickly. Like, and it just fell off, like, after the third game.
It's like, those kinds of games where, like, the musical instrument kind of games are the ones where, like, you can do it by yourself for so long, but really they're made for groups.
Yeah.
Like, it's not as fun unless you have your buddies there to play, mm-hmm, with you. So.
Like, I don't even know where all the instruments are that I've bought over the years.
I think my parents have, like, two guitars, a drum set, and we have the mics.
Nice. They say it's going to be compatible with the old instruments, too, so.
I'll probably just buy the new ones.
Yeah, probably.
Because I'm pretty sure we broke the drum set. Because, like,
like you just slam it.
Like, we used to play that when I actually was a drummer.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would go from my trap set to that little plastic piece of crap, and I would just tear it up. Like,
destroy it.
Just, like, destroy it.
Oh, man. It's gonna be an interesting release for sure.
You know, just kind of an interesting piece of information.
Fun fact.
That you can take the professional, like, drum pads, the like, not like a trap set, but it's a trap set, but they're just pads.
Yeah.
The, like, digital ones or whatever. You can actually take those and hook them up through a little, like, there's a little thing you can buy. You can hook them into the box, and that box will convert those into the Rock Band format, and then you can plug it in as
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
They did it at the church once. It's pretty cool.
Nice.
Because you can just smash the crap out of those things, and it doesn't hurt them.
It's good stuff. So, next up, Sony has announced that Project Morpheus will be coming to consumers next year.
What is that?
The VR headset.
Oh!
Come on, man.
Sorry, you know...
I know, all their code names.
I was thinking, what was it, the Oculus Rift?
That's a... different. That's the one that Facebook bought.
That's yeah, what it is, though, right? It's like
VR.
An eye thing.
Yeah,
yeah. No, I'm not into those kind of things. I think they're going to give me really? Problems. I it's cool. As the nerd side on me is like, that's cool technology.
Yeah,
but I don't think I would really ever want one because I think what's going to end up happening is they're going to try to make it to where you have to like turn your head, like to look around.
Well, yeah, that's what it's all about.
Okay, well, what if I want to look completely backwards? Am I going to get out of my chair and turn around?
Well, I think the idea is that, at least with Sony, that you would be playing it standing or in like a rotating chair. I know.
No. I'm not exercising my video games, okay? I want to sit and be lazy with a bag of Fritos, barbecue twists, and just stare at one screen for the rest of my life. 3D? Yeah, maybe.
Well,
I don't want to have to stand up and walk around.
Listen to me. This is how I see VR, is that if I'm not sitting with it, then it's just going to be like something that you do with like a group of people. Like here's a small slice of a game, put the headset on, pass and play. Like that's how I picture using VR is like it's almost like a gimmick, but it's a really cool advanced gimmick.
You know how I could picture using it is putting it on my head, turning off all the sensors, and using it just as a TV, and laying down flat in my bed and playing video games.
Really? Like
I'd be so comfortable.
But I like the idea of looking around and having that one-to-one connection with the game you're playing. Like, even if, like, if you can do this, but still push the right analogs,
Everyone gets it. The right stick.
and, like, continue that movement instead of turning all the way around. That'd be kind of cool, but...
I just, like, the problem I have with that is I think it's going to end up being, like, did you ever try to use the Wii for any kind of first-person shooter?
Yeah, it was terrible.
It was horrible.
And like, you had to drag...
You had to put it on the edge of the screen just to get it to turn, yeah. And then you had to, like, put it back towards the middle. That's what I think it's going to feel like, and that's the problem that I have.
Well, one thing is that it also uses the move, you know, the weird light-up ball sticks. Mm-hmm. And so that connection's one-to-one, too. So, like, if you're holding a gun, you can, like, turn it which way you want to. And it's always going to be aiming where you feel like it should be. There's a great demo on GameSpot that they just put up, and it's amazing. Sorry. Talking and hearing yourself on a delay is a little weird. I'm trying to get used to it. So, because...
You sound a little weird, like, every now and then.
Yeah, just like, I'm really talking slow. So, but I'll get used to it. But anyway, GameStop has a really cool gameplay preview that they have footage of. And, like, the movement of, like, the hands, it just looks so natural. It just looks so like natural.
It is natural.
But it just looks so natural. And... Like, he didn't even have to think, like, when he was playing, he just grabbed the mags. Okay. All right.
Just pull one headset, one piece to the side or something.
But I don't know if that works that well. Well, it might. We'll see how it goes. But anyway, so the preview is that the Danny O'Dwyer was, like, he was sitting in this chair in the game. And he had the move sticks and blah, blah. And a guy hands him a phone and he answers it or something. And then, like, he stands up. And then, like, guys start coming in, but he's behind, like, a desk thing. And there's all these drawers. So he starts grabbing and opening the drawers without even, like, thinking. Like, he just, like, you know, like, he said, like, it didn't miss. It was just natural to him to point the move stick and then pull back. And he would pull open a drawer or whatever.
Yep.
And so he grabbed the clips and... set him on the desk, and then, like, you'd have to load it and everything. And then he was ducking behind the desk and shooting, and he said, like, he started, like, thinking, like, if he was actually in that situation, what he would do, and he realized every time he was coming up to grab a mag, he was getting shot, so he grabbed the mags and put them on the ground so that he wouldn't have to move. Like, like, that kind of stuff is cool. Like, I'm really looking forward to that stuff.
I like the idea of all that, the kind of, like, immersion kind of thing, and I get that. That would be really fun. I think it would, if they could, like, perfect it, I would be fine with it.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, it's always going to, especially being as, like, new as it is to, like, at least, like, releasing, you know, that kind of stuff. There's always going to be those little quirks that are, like, hard for you to deal with, you know. And that's, like, and like I was saying with the Wii, like, that was my problem is, like, I have a problem with, like, if I turn my head, I want it to be, like, on point, do it as I do it. Like,
yeah.
I don't want a delay. I don't want any of that stuff. That's the problem that I have with it. Yeah. But I will say, like, whenever we watched, whenever Node was working with that thing,
that stuff
and
awesome.
they just had that game, and all it was them just playing around it, like, at a house.
Yeah, that's what I want.
That looked like it was awesome. Yeah. Like, that would be cool. So, like, I mean, if it works that way. But I don't want to use these, I don't want to use sticks as hands. Give me some gloves, man.
Yeah.
Put some gloves on me.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna
be able to grip.
But they say that it's just natural once you get used to it, which I'm fine with. Like, you know, Sony's already put a lot of money into this headset, so it's going to be take a lot more money to get that mapping on the fingers and everything. So is good enough for consoles, I think.
Did you see, just kind of to go with this, did you see there was a thing that a company made a while back, and it was like a little box that looked like an Apple TV. And they set it in front of their TV, and the guy put his hand over it, and it mapped his whole hand.
The Leap, or whatever it's called?
It would, like, he could
control,
like,
his computer.
He played a video game.
Yeah, yeah.
It. And he picked up a gun and he was shooting. He was going like this and just making the little kid gun, like thumb and finger thing. And every time he pushed his thumb down, it would fire the gun. So he was literally going like this. And then he turned his gun sideways and kept shooting. And the gun actually turned sideways. I was like, whoa. Like, he didn't even have a controller. He just, like, had his hands there. I was like, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. You make, like, a freaking keyboard size platform like that. And then put one of those headsets on. You can do all of your things that way. Like, grab, do all this stuff. And as long as it's in front of you, you're fine. Like, you could have both hands. Just whoop, whoop. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool. I still like the idea of having a controller, though. Because, the buttons on the move, like, there's too many actions to just have, like, one type of movement for. Like, I understand, like, what you're saying. But, like, for, like, consoles, I think the move is a good way to go because there's options on the controller.
Well, like, what they need to do is they need to have two buttons. They need to have one button that opens and closes your last three fingers and your thumb. So that you can leave your finger open.
Mm.
Okay? So if you're going to use a gun, you can press the bottom, but like the button with your middle finger, and it will close your hand, all of your hand except for your finger.
I think that's what it does.
So that you're pointing.
They have R2 and R1 on the move sticks. So I think to grab something, you hold R2. So like you grip the remote so
you
better.
You reach down, you use that button, and all of your hand except for your pointing finger grabs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you use your pointing finger to fire, basically. Right. Or like if you don't want to pick anything up and you're like, we need to go this way, instead of pointing, just sticking your hand out, you can just keep your finger out and you can actually point to things.
Yeah.
Or you can use that finger to like push buttons in game, like a elevator on Battlefield or something like that. Or like flip a light switch. Stuff like that you need one finger for that. So like those are little things that you can do.
It's good insight.
But that would be a good
because
like trying to control all the fingers would be way too hard, but opening and closing your hand would make things complicated, like shooting a gun and holding a gun.
What I was hoping for Morpheus was that it would launch with No Man's Sky, like you could get it in like a little bundle pack. But if it's coming out next year, I don't think there's much hope for that. But I can still hold on, and maybe
that would be a
smart move because that's all about experiencing a different world.
And another thing with that is that you would never have to turn all the way back, like turn around backwards necessarily.
Right.
For like cockpit kind of games, like if you're flying a jet,
you can just,
guys that fly jets don't ever really look straight back. Like they look like up to the left and up and to the right and forward, but they don't really ever look like too far straight back. So, like, if you're sitting in a chair, that's perfect. You don't have to worry about, you know, being able to spin all the way around.
Yeah.
You can leave your body in one place. And, like, you can use your entire controller for flying and stuff like that. And then, like, so, like, you're looking forward at your TV.
Yeah.
You know. But, like, you're looking forward at it. And then, like, somebody comes in out of nowhere. Then you don't have to look less necessarily forward anymore. But you can keep flying forward.
Yeah, straight.
So you can, like, kind of look up and go, oh, crap, and just keep going the direction you're
going. They say that flight sims with VR is one of the coolest things because it feels so natural. Like
I'd have to set up like a big fan in front of me or something.
But you have a windshield.
Not all planes.
Okay, fine.
Old World War One planes.
Oh, all right.
Old school crop dusters, man.
So, yeah, Morpheus. I'm actually like, I can't wait to just put it on and just, like, you know, run around wherever.
I think
that sounds
it's gonna
like
be,
so cool to me.
I think this is going to be one of the first things where we experience that old feeling where we're like, how will buttons do what? Like, it's going to be that awkwardness for us, you know, like our parents have with the controllers.
Yeah.
I think we can get used to it, though, because we are a technology generation.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm super excited for that. Yeah, and that's pretty much all the important news.
We got any more?
Oh, wait. Okay, here we go. So, sorry for the PlayStation-heavy news, but that's what catches my radar. So PS4 is getting an update, and it allows you to suspend apps. Suspend apps. So, like, instead of closing them, you can suspend them. So, like, puts them in the background, and instead of having to close it and relaunch it. So, that's kind of cool.
Xbox does that.
Yeah, but This is Sony's.
Can I just make a note real quick?
Yeah.
You're a big Sony guy. You're a big PlayStation guy.
Yeah.
you're using an Xbox headset.
Yeah, I know.
For the podcast.
It's because I didn't want a wireless one. So,
you need a one-ear one. Like those Turtle Beach ones that only have one piece, like one side.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. It's fine. You can also customize button mapping now, or whenever it comes out. So, if you want to, you can change up the buttons. So that's kind of interesting. It's kind of like a PC feature.
Well, almost. that's really nice considering like some games now let you change the
if you want to change it, go to the menu and change it. Yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of anything, but Helljumpers, if we're going to Helldivers, my bad.
Fantastic game.
It's a fantastic game. Doesn't let you change the buttons, but I won't lie. I would really like to have my grenade button not on my left trigger.
Mm.
Because when I get excited, I throw grenades.
Yeah.
Because, I'm used to first person, so I'm trying to, aim, you know? I'm still getting used to the aim style of it.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and then, when there's a bunch of people, I'll still, kick in my auto response to try to aim down the sights.
Right, yeah.
So that'll be nice.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Let's see. What else does it have, though? Also, when you suspend applications, it allows you to enter rest mode without closing them. So that's kind of cool, too.
Yeah, Xbox does that.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just...
Simpsons did it.
Whatever. The coolest one, though, is the custom button mapping. That's pretty interesting. Xbox doesn't do that.
No. Suck it. I don't think they do. You could probably pull that off, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a way you can get around that with Xbox.
Yeah. To be fair, though, I don't care which console does.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, that's a cool feature, but I don't think I'll ever use it that much, to be honest.
Like, maybe people who are just so upset at a control scheme, they'll do it.
If it has, if you can do presets for, games,
mm-hmm.
like if I can say...
Or just change the preset in the menu real quick.
Yeah, something. If I can say, only use this preset for top-down shooters... Mm-hmm. Only use this preset for first-person shooters. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think it would be nice if they would, instead of making the control scheme for individual games, if the developers will literally just tie into that and let you change it on your console.
Mm. Well, what I imagine it being is, you can make a bunch of different setups, and you can name them. So instead of, like it auto-detecting it or whatever, you could just say, this is for first-person shooter, and then click that one.
No, I get that. I get that. What I'm saying is, for the Master Chief Collection, they went in and they designed a control scheme for all the games that would work for all the games.
Yeah.
So even though it's different from what I'm used to playing Halo...
It's uniform across all
of them. Yes, exactly. So once you get used to that... The universal controls will let you keep that throughout all of the games, and they'll never change. Because it's hard going from Halo 1 to Halo 2 to Halo 3, and you keep getting all these different...
Because you get all those subtle tweaks that
they do. These little button mapping things that really, screw you over.
Mm-hmm.
But...
So that's it for the hit list. Good stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Just
real quick, I want to ask you about something. Do you know anything about, these PlayStation exclusive, TV shows and movies?
You mean like Powers?
Yeah.
I haven't watched them. We get the first episode for free as PlayStation Plus members, so.
Just kind of curious. I've been seeing
it's just
commercials for stuff, and they some of the stuff that I see looks pretty cool, and then it's brought to you by PlayStation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what?
It's kind of cool. They're turning into, or they're trying to be more than just a game platform. They're trying to get into all media in general, so.
I can see that.
Yeah. But I think that's the way it's going anyway. These console developers, they have to make it do more than play games, and they've already, added Netflix and Hulu and stuff like that.
And that's one of those things that kind of goes towards they're trying to push more towards parents.
Yeah.
Because kids will buy it just for games. They don't care.
Yeah, but they'll use it as an entertainment box that they just put on
the parents
TV.
Are trying to, they're like, whoa, well, if we get this for the kids, well, we can also use it for us for this and blah, blah, blah. So
it just makes sense to have more than just game playing in there.
So. Xbox made a big leap on that.
Oh, yeah. Making it, they pissed like, a lot of people off, too.
But, like, that thing, from what I hear, is really hard to, like, set up.
The cable pass-through?
Yeah, they said that, like, cable companies don't know how to do it. Like, you end up having, like, they just plug your crap up regularly, and then you have to call Xbox or Microsoft and have them tell you how to do it. So, like, if you don't do it just right and you mess up your cable, then you have to have a service fee and have them come out. And
see, like, my thing is, like, the idea of integrating it into your cable box is cool, but a lot of people are starting to cancel their cable subscriptions. Like,
yeah.
Like, I think there was, like, over, like, 100,000 people cut the cord last year. That's quite a bit of people.
Well,
or probably another, was way more than that.
Another thing that really goes towards that is that a lot of the TV companies that are, like, not the cable companies, but the people like HBO and Starz and all that stuff, they're starting to do a thing where they basically, like, you can pay a little bit extra on your Xbox, PlayStation, or like Apple TV, and you can get that channel.
Yeah.
Like, and on demand.
It's because they realize that eventually that the cable is going to go away completely.
It's going to die out, yeah.
And so that's just them being smart. And that's how I see it in the future. Like, if you like a specific channel, you just pay the subscription and it delivers to your box, basically. Instead of paying, like, a huge lump sum for all these channels that you don't watch.
And that's the thing, like, I really like Hulu because of that, because you can work with, like, it has a bunch of the, like, popular channels and popular TV shows.
Hulu's great.
The only thing I wish Hulu would do is if they would kind of work a little bit harder to keep more recent, like, more episodes on.
Yeah.
There's only, like, 6 episodes. If you don't watch it, then it disappears and they put the new one on.
Yeah, but the thing is, so
you have to keep up with it.
But I kind of like that because right now I'm just binge-watching a bunch of shows, and I'd like to have, like, a schedule, but, like, keeping those shows on after the air is super expensive, and that's why Hulu still has ads.
Yeah, no,
I understand why they don't have, like, a huge library.
And the ads, like, I honestly, when I first started watching Hulu, the ads were a big problem for me, and I didn't like them. But, like, now I've gotten to the point where I've seen those ads so often that I just don't even notice them anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a little break.
It's like a commercial
TV show
break.
Usually does. I mean, it's just like watching it on TV. I don't know why people would get so upset. But anyway. So that's the cable talk.
Yeah.
So now we are going to move into our off-topic of the week. Casey, you have the off-topic. What is it?
I don't really know how to, I didn't think of a title for it, but it's basically games that were a letdown based on, like, the hype.
Games that did not live up to the hype.
Yeah.
There you go.
They really, coming out in trailers and commercials and all this stuff, you look at it and you think, man, this thing looks awesome.
Yeah.
This is going to be amazing. And then the game gets out and it's just a terrible letdown for a lot of people.
We
have four to talk about today. Two of them were like devastating
huge
letdowns. Like a lot of people were let down by these games.
Yeah.
And then two of them were kind of like personal ones for us that just kind of
fell off.
Yeah, they weren't really like, I wouldn't say they're bad games. They just didn't really hold our attention very well. And that could be just because it took too long to get into them.
Yeah.
You know, because some games, like, there are some games that you don't want to sit and have to just put all of your time and effort into just to get, like, a percentage of the way there.
Yeah.
And
what I think is wrong with a couple of these games is that, they want to be so, like, instantaneous, like, get you right to the gameplay, that they don't hold your attention enough afterwards, so you just lose interest in playing it.
Yeah, or, like, being able to level up is a lot harder than it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about the first one. Brink.
Was
probably one of our biggest letdowns.
Such a cool idea. Such, like, a great idea that just fell flat.
It was, like, the concept of it was amazing. All of the hype leading up to it was amazing, but when the game came out, it just fell completely short of the hype. Like, it didn't live up to its reputation at all.
I mean, this is what the game had going for it. A great art style, interesting world, cool mechanics.
The parkour system was amazing.
Yeah, really cool mechanics. So that's three really good things to have in a game. Art style, world, and mechanics. That usually makes a pretty good game.
Yeah.
But the problem with Brink is that there was nothing else. So, like,
there was no, like, the world, the universe, and culture that you get from it.
So
you,
stale.
You got from, like,
cutscenes.
Like, the good stuff you got from, like, trailers and stuff ahead of time. When you got into the game, they didn't explain anything to you.
And you were just lost.
They were just like, you guys are bad guys. Or, like, you guys are bandits. You guys are cops. Yeah. Or, like, you know, stuff like that. Or rebels and cops, whatever. Mm-hmm. Fight each other. And they made it seem like you were going to have all of these, like, objectives that you could do on the sides. And kind of like Battlefield. Like, there's a lot of things you can go do. You can go do this. You can go do that. You can go do that. And everything works towards your helping your guys.
But there's only, like, three things.
Really, all you ever did was kill each other.
Yeah.
And even if you did get the stuff on the sides, it didn't really make that much of a difference.
Yeah.
So, and they made it out to be this game that was going to have an amazing customization. And you literally had to stop playing the actual game and go play side things just to get like one part. It took way too long to upgrade anything. The upgrades really weren't even worth it, to be honest.
No, it was just like, oh, look at this new site or a cool looking clip.
Yeah, and it didn't really add anything to like to help you.
Yeah.
The only thing I will say about the customization that I did like was that your gun changed appearance completely based on the parts you put on it.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't just like, oh, add an attachment. It was like, if you put a new barrel on that thing, the whole front of that gun looks different. And you could put paint and stuff on it. And, like, it was just, that was kind of cool. But Brink was probably the biggest letdown of my life. I can't think of another game that let me down that much.
It's just like, we were a little younger then, so we probably built it up a little higher than it seemed. But that was a huge letdown. Like,
and on top of that, like, I would say one of the biggest things for me, one of the reasons why it was such a big letdown for me is because I feel like I was one of the first of our group to kind of like be really like headfirst into this and be like, yes, this game is going to be amazing. I got my roommate. Two of my neighbors, I don't know if I told you about it.
I'm pretty sure I told you about it, but we were like,
I was hyping this thing up because I was like, this thing looks amazing because that's how it was perceived.
Mm-hmm.
And when it came out, everybody was like, dude, this game sucks. And I just kind of had to hang my head.
Like, no, it doesn't. You're still playing like 3 weeks later.
Yeah, I'm trying to justify it, but like eventually, like, I think I played for a week longer than everybody else because I was like, maybe it gets better. And it just
doesn't really
fizzled out, man. And finally, I had to tell him, like, dude, I'm going to sell this because it's just not.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
It was almost to the point where I was like, I don't even know if I want to sell it back to GameStop. I'm just going to take it out on the front porch and set it on fire, or put it in the microwave because I've always wanted to do that.
Like, I would love to see that type of game like revisited, like, and made better somehow.
I feel like Titanfall is kind of a really good Brink.
I never really thought about
don't put that together because it was so, like, Brink was so long ago, people don't really think about it. But Titanfall has the parkour mechanics. They added a little bit to it. It's a little bit more like technology based, and you have big robots. So I mean, what's
it's like. It's hi-fi or high sci, whatever you call it, science fiction instead of lo-fi like Brink was.
And Titanfall and Brink basically have the same like storyline / multiplayer mechanics. Yeah. Like that's what Brink was, is that your storyline was your multiplayer maps in order with like cause.
And somehow Titanfall is just so much better. Like, how did that happen? Is it just because of the gameplay?
I don't think when Titanfall was getting ready to release, they didn't try to push themselves as saying, like, we have a storyline.
Awesome story.
Yeah, they just kind of said this is multiplayer. Like this is what we're pushing right now is that you're going to be able to play multiplayer in big robot suits and shoot the crap out of each other. Like,
yeah, I think it's all about advertising, like how you put it out there, and that's what Titanfall did right. So,
I also think, just kind of as a side note, I think Brink, because it was made by Bethesda.
I think it was, published, by them?
Something like that.
And then another studio developed it.
I think basically the reason why they Bethesda had anything to do with it is just that they needed money for their next project. I really think that's what it was. They were just trying to put something out. Because, you know, games do that from time to time.
Splash Damage was the developer. Bethesda published it.
Yeah. So that's what I think about it. I think a lot of people might agree with me, but
R.I.P. Brink.
Because right after Brink came out, I think Oblivion came out before that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oblivion came out way before that.
What came out after that? Something came out after Brink that Bethesda was working on. I can't remember what it was. Oh, well, it doesn't matter. The second game...
Fallout 3, maybe?
It may have been Fallout 3.
Because I don't remember how old Brink is.
It came out when I was in college. 2010, 2011. Anyways.
2011, yeah.
Anyways, so... the next one that we have that was...
It was Skyrim.
A pretty good...
That's what it was. Sorry. Go ahead.
When did Skyrim come out?
It came out, like...
It was like 2012?
Late 2011, too.
Really? Did it?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah, that game's old.
It doesn't seem like it's that old, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, the next one that we got... Wow.
Yeah, November 11th.
That's crazy. 11-11. Yeah, that was their thing. 11-11.
Yeah. Anyways... Next.
So our next one that we have here, and this was another, I think it seemed like to the public it was kind of a letdown, was Dead Island, the first Dead Island.
Oh, gosh.
And
freaking hated that game.
I will say it was a bad game, and they did kind of hype it up a lot. I will also defend it just a little bit, because that was the first game that those guys made.
Yeah,
like true. That was the thing that they kind of tried to make sure everybody knew, was like, this is our first run at this.
Yeah, but what I hated about Dead Island is that they were like, stupid headphones, they were like, this is the zombie apocalypse game. Like, yeah. But it wasn't, because you had damage counters and like...
Yeah.
Like headshots didn't do anything. It was all about damage and HP. Like, that's all it was about.
That, it was kind of sad because I feel like... you good?
Yeah, I'm just making sure.
Running good?
Yeah.
Okay, so you just had a look on your face at the computer, like, what?
Well, because I was worried that we were getting, like, a loop, but we're not.
So I feel like, I hate to say this, but Dead Rising, I feel like, does better at their zombie-killing methods, because it's like, if you hit them in the head, they're dead, depending on what you hit them with. Because, like, if you hit somebody with a big rubber foam weenie, then it's not going to kill them.
Yeah.
And they do that in Dead Island. Like, you can get stupid stuff. But if you pick up a barbell in a gym and smash their head in with it, they die.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be. So, like, I feel like Dead Island should have been like Dead Rising first person. That's what it should have been.
Which
that's
is what Dying Light was like.
So. That's what Dead Island seemed like it was going to be before it came out. Was like... Yeah.
They're like, what? This is like an RPG.
If you have a machete, like, and they were like, if you do certain things, you can like cut their limbs off and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like, it was like you had to whack at them just to. And I know dismemberment's probably not easy, but like, if you're gonna make a zombie game and I try to cut someone's head off, I shouldn't have to pop him 30 times.
Yeah.
With a broad axe, you know.
That's why I like Dying Light a whole lot more, because...
Yeah, it's basically the better version of what it should... Yeah. Like,
although they are making a Dead Island 2, so...
Well, they made Riptide.
Yeah, but they're doing another one, so...
Well, it might be better. I'll give it another chance. I thought it was a good game, a good multiplayer game, just to kind of run around and just have fun on. But, like, it did kind of fizzle out like Brink did. I will say I played Dead Island a lot longer than I played Brink. Not because I was trying to hold on to hope or anything like that. I actually enjoyed it for the short amount of time that I played it, but it was just like, okay, this is really repetitive. Mm-hmm. It's getting to the point. I tried to look past all of the damage counters and stuff and stuff like that. I tried to look past that until I was like, okay, well, I'm just doing the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah. Do you remember playing that game over FaceTime?
I do, because our mics wouldn't work.
Because a shotgun to the face would not kill somebody.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah, like, that was...
Like, that's a big...
You want to talk about low budget right there.
Yeah.
We had iPhone headphones.
None of us could afford headsets.
And
so.
We were talking over, like, a phone call or FaceTime.
That's funny.
Wow, that was bad.
Yeah. So yeah,
Dead Island, another letdown. It really seemed like to me, and I haven't done research on this because I don't do research, but it seems
that's my job.
It seems to me like Dead Island, the first Dead Island, was not a very popular game after its release to the public either.
Yeah.
It kind of died out. I think Riptide was a little bit more popular with everyone.
Yeah, a little bit.
Because I actually heard about a lot of people playing that. But the first one, I feel like it was really hyped up right before it came out, and then it released, and it did okay on its release, and then it just kind of died out.
Yeah.
So our third one, I'm going to switch these two real quick, and we'll talk about this one last.
Because this one I have a lot to talk about.
Yeah, because you know a little bit more about this than me. Our third one's going to be Dust 514. It is the kind of like PlayStation, like brother
free to play
EVE Online. It's in the same universe, but it's not.
It's like a sister game.
EVE Online is like you command like a ship. It's not a first-person shooter. You command a ship. It's kind of like StarCraft almost.
Yeah.
And you fly your ship around and you can like...
It's like a real-time strategy.
Yeah, you can like blow up planets or whatever, like shoot other people's ships and stuff like that. So, and that game, EVE Online, is actually extremely popular.
Oh, yeah.
It has a huge fan following and all this stuff. Dust 514 is basically... they tried to make a sister game, kind of.
It's
a first person shooter.
Yeah, you're these mercenaries of the, and you're hired out by the captains of these ships because they're owned by corporations. So what they were trying to do is make it feel like you have an impact on this broader spectrum that's going on in another game. But the problem is they never showed you like your progress in the universe or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's why big games like this can learn a lot from smaller games like Helldivers. Because so far, the community aspect of that game is amazing. Like, you know, you're all trying to fight to the homeworld of these creatures and Helldivers. And so it shows you the progress of the whole community with that little bar. And it has, like, the top soldiers in each region or whatever listed. And, like, that part makes it seem like you are part of that broader spectrum. But Dust 514 doesn't, like, show you any of that. Or if it does, it's the UI is so complex that you can't figure it out. Like, that's the thing. Like, if you want them to feel like a part of a broader spectrum, like, show it to them at some point. Like, yeah. Dust 514 never showed it to you.
If they would have done more, like, look, this is like a community event. Like if they would have done an event and said, look, if whoever wins this gets an insane amount of, like, money and all this stuff, and it actually goes towards, like, shifting the EVE Online, like, balance from, like, one place to another. And if they would have done something like that to where, like, just one massive battle would have controlled that kind of thing, that would have been something that would have been really cool to see. But
what it ended up feeling like was just, like, these canned FPS online matches. Like, it felt like there's nothing else going on outside of that world.
Yeah. And another thing that I really... in the beginning, because we played this when it was beta, alpha kind of stuff, And then I had problems with it because it was still a little broken, and you remember I used to get really frustrated with it.
I was like, stick with it, man, stick with it.
It's not a bad first person shooter. The mechanics of it work pretty well if you just are like a Call of Duty guy and you just want to play just to shoot people and stuff. Yeah, and it's free. But one thing about this game is like EVE Online, both of them have their own like currency systems.
Yeah,
and the economy actually works with this. Like they've set it up really well. But the problem is that they started introducing microtransactions.
Yeah. So
you can buy money on the PlayStation Store and that ruins the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is that it makes people who like to grind, people who like to earn their living, you know, started from the bottom, now we're here kind of people. It makes people like that really angry whenever some little kid comes in with birthday money and buys all the really good stuff and demolishes them because of it. You know, like he drops in with a tank and doesn't even know how to steer.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of people mad. Yeah. So I honestly, I think the microtransactions is actually what finished me off because I always liked that I was gaining money and gaining power, and I was getting better guns because I can afford better stuff. But as soon as they started saying, well, oh, but if you want this really, really good gun, then you have to go to the store and buy this other kind of currency with real money. And I was like, no.
It was like ISK and ISP. That was like the two.
Yeah, it's like frustrating. It's like, here's the low-level currency for like peasants.
Yeah.
And then here's the stuff that the you elite. Have to pay for, and you can get really good stuff with that money. I'm like, well, can I earn that really good money? No, you can't. You have to buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well, I don't want any part of this anymore. I don't like microtransactions.
Yeah.
It's one thing if it's like, if you want to buy new skins and stuff, like if you want to look good, that's fine. And we'll get with that in a minute the next one.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because I do that. I like to buy stuff to make me look cool, because I feel like when I look cool, I play better. But don't hinder me. Don't let me. Don't make it to where I can't buy good guns simply because I don't want to pay you money.
Yeah.
And that really ruins a lot of games. A lot of people have problems with microtransactions.
Yeah, I do too. But man, Dust 514. Like, we'll get into this in the next
and
one too.
Another thing about the microtransactions is, don't make a free game and then realize that it's so good and start charging people for stuff.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, if it's going to be free, leave it free. Don't start charging
people. Well, they got to make money somehow.
Well, I know that, but they didn't, whenever they made this game, they didn't intend on making money off of it. That's what I'm saying. And then once they realized, they were like, oh, hey.
We got quite a bit of people playing.
We're getting something. Yeah. Well, why don't you guys just give us some money since this game's so good?
Like, it's like, actually, it's not. We're
tell
just playing
me ahead of time. Like, if you charged me ahead of time, yeah, I would probably still, I would be okay with the microtransactions, but don't say, hey, this is a free game. Oh, by the way, if you want to do anything good, you have to pay for it.
Yeah. Like, a lot of these games that we're listing have really good ideas, but they just don't execute.
They're just like little things that don't work out.
Yeah.
And if they did a little bit more testing, I think they could fix these problems really quickly.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so the last one we're going to talk about...
It's a fairly recent one.
Yeah, and I don't...
Actually, it's really recent.
I'm going to argue this just a little bit, just because I don't think it's a bad game, but for us as Couch Co-op, it kind of fell off the map really quickly for us. I mean, we had it for, what?
2 weeks, maybe.
2 weeks. Yeah. And that is Evolve.
Yeah.
It's a good, great concept. I think it's really fun multiplayer.
Really fun game.
But you just... It almost gets too repetitive, and, like, you max out your level really fast. Like, you run out of things to, like, look forward to, and you have to just start doing the mission, you know, just doing the missions because they're fun. The biggest problem for us, I think, was that we don't have enough people, like, friends on PlayStation. I mean, we have a lot of PlayStation friends.
Yeah.
But you and me are the only two that really have a PS4. So when we get games and we want to play together, we have to get them on PS4, but we don't have anybody else to play with. So it's harder for us to kind of get into, like, the multiplayer games with the PlayStation
because
we don't have multiplayer people.
After we played some Helldivers this morning, and I was, like, after we played, I was like, this is a better version of Evolve. Like, that's what I thought, but...
Because of the bugs.
The bugs, but, like, because, like, you feel like you're always going for a larger goal. Like, Evolve... Each match is inside itself. There's nothing outside of that. Except for, like, in Evacuation. But that's only, like, still, like, 5 missions.
Yeah, it's still, like, pretty close.
Like, if they had, like, a community goal, like, kill X amount of monsters to get something cool, like, that's what I feel like Helldivers is going towards. Like, you know, beat all these, like, really hard levels to get, to help the community reach the big homeworld mission, whatever that's going to be. Like, that type of interaction with community is just really, like, good for replayability.
So, in Evolve, we've talked about this, like, what they do, but, like, I was going to just comment on the microtransactions in Evolve.
Yeah.
In Evolve, you can get, like, the season pass and all that, and that's fine, because, you know, they're going to release new people or whatever. New hunters, and that will be cool. I think that'll be all right. And I still have it for my Xbox, so I'll probably follow it on that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that bothered me the most about this game, a lot of people were saying that it was like $80 for all the stuff, and I get that. All that money goes towards the people who make the game, and they need that money because
they're working overtime.
Yeah,
right now.
They work overtime to release. Extra stuff, DLC.
Like, I understand paying for DLC and everything.
Yeah.
It's just that like evolve, like it just didn't hold my attention for that long.
So the thing with microtransactions, and this is what I was trying to compare between Dust and Evolve, is Dust, you have to buy, like if you want weapons to be able to keep up with people, you have to buy them in Dust.
Really? Oh, in Dust. Okay, in Dust. Yeah.
But in Evolve, really the only thing that you buy is like skins and stuff. Yeah. And that's all a preference. Cosmetic. That's like, you don't have to have this. This doesn't hinder your gameplay. It just makes you look cool.
Yeah, and so, I appreciate that about Evolve. Like, you can buy certain, like, hunters, but that's, like, if you didn't get the DLC, or the season pass, I mean.
Yeah, well, that's, like, later down the line.
Yeah.
When they release them,
it's like, you can buy ones individually instead of the season pass.
Yeah, it's like buying, like on Call of Duty, if you don't buy the season pass, then you have to buy the individual DLC, like, the individual maps. It's kind of like that, but, I mean, a lot of games do that nowadays.
Yeah.
And the season pass is better. Overall, the season pass is better, but, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, you just kind of have to pick and choose your battles, but...
Like, I would say, like, Evolve lived up to the hype for about a week. Like, but then it's the same thing over and over.
Well, but the one thing that I will say about Evolve, as far as, like, their hype, is that they always said 4v1.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have, I mean, and you'll always have 4 people to play with, but if you don't have 4 of your own people to play with,
it's pretty
that
difficult.
Game is not, like, top-notch.
It's like Left 4 Dead. Like,
you need to have people...
Yeah, that you know to play.
It's really hard if you don't have a group. So, like, I think that's one of the reasons why Evolve for Couch Co-op was kind of a letdown, because we only have 2 people.
Yeah.
So we can't fill out a roster if we only have 2. So.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So that's our off topic of the week.
Do you want to?
I want to talk about Helldivers. We got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I was gonna say we could wrap it up. We could talk about that. It's a good game.
So Helldivers. The PS4 top-down shooter. Well, actually, it's PS4, PS3, PS Vita.
It's PlayStation exclusive.
Yeah, PlayStation exclusive.
And it's only $20.
Yeah.
For a really good, like, arcade-style game. It's like basically if you took your top-down shooter. Like, I don't know if anybody played the top-down shooter of Black Ops.
It was fun.
Remember that one?
Yeah, a lot of fun.
And you would go from, like, the area to area, and there would be different challenges in each area. It's kind of like that, but they made it into a full game.
Yeah.
It's not the same people, but it's kind of like that, and you're working towards going to, like, the home worlds of these enemies. There's
3 of them.
There's the bugs, the cyborgs, and the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, those guys.
I haven't met them yet. Oh, man. So.
You don't want to. They're crazy.
But what I like about this game is that it's really hard.
Yeah, it is not. Depending on what level you go to, it's not easy.
No, not at all.
And basically anything over, there's, a dive in the park is the easiest one.
Yeah, and then easy.
And then easy, or no, there's very easy, easy.
Yeah, medium.
Medium, hard, very hard, challenging, very challenging.
Suicide mission, and then impossible.
Well, no, but there's one more. There's, I think it's a dive into hell.
Oh, yeah, there's hell dive.
And that's like the worst, that's like level 12, hardest one you can do. I want to say, though, I think the maps are bigger there, because I've noticed that the maps get bigger as you go.
Yeah.
Because the planets get bigger. So, but yeah, the game's really good. There's all kinds. There are no microtransactions.
Thank goodness.
So far.
I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. But if they did, honestly, I would still pay, because the game is only $20.
Yeah,
you know?
That's true.
I would spend another $40, because it's worth $60. If they made a disc version of this, I would get it instantly. Yeah.
And this is kind of like what I want to talk about for a second, is like the PS Plus games for this month are on point. Helldivers wasn't one of them, but like Ollie Ollie 2, one of the funnest times I've had with the game in recent memory. And
I haven't seen that. Is that on the PS Plus games?
Yeah. And then what's the spy one? Counter Spy. That one's really fun too. And Helldivers is an excellent game. So, like, what I'm finding out, and I probably should have figured this out
later.
Valiant
Hearts is on.
Yes.
Is on, too.
I
haven't played it yet.
Like, I've played, like, the first hour, and, like, it is rough, man. Like, I'm tearing up just thinking about
it. Is it touching? Oh, man!
It's I love the history in that game. Like, they give you, like, little,
dossier-type things to read through, and it's really good.
I'll tell you, just real quick, for, like, a sidebar kind of thing. That game, like, I haven't played it. Do you remember watching the trailer for Valiant Hearts, and it was like so touching, and it made you like really want to play this game
because
it seemed like a It was like anything that can make you that emotional, you really want to play.
Yeah.
Like there are plenty of games that we've played in the past that will make you almost like tear up. And mm-hmm. those are the games you really like because they make you involved. But as the sidebar, what I was getting to is I was thinking about that game.
Yeah.
Whenever I came up with our off topic, which mm-hmm. is games that were hype, because I was like, man, I haven't played it yet. But, like, it looks so good that if I play it and it lets me down, it's really going to bother me.
Well, I already heard that a lot of people love it. Like,
yeah,
no
I mean,
question,
it's been out for a while. Mm-hmm. It's not a spoiler or anything. It's been out forever. But, like, I haven't heard anything about it and I haven't played it. So I was like, I loved the hype for it and I just really don't want it to be a letdown for me.
I mean, I'm already really enjoying it. I'm enjoying all the characters and stuff. Like, it's a good game. But what I was getting to is, like, I noticed the trend. Is that all these small games that are coming out are exceptional.
Yeah.
And then the AAA games come out and just disappoint. Well, and so, like, I think it's a matter of, like, what are you reaching for? Are you being, like, a little too ambitious? Or are you just trying to make a game that's honestly too big when you could build a really awesome, smaller experience that I tend to like a lot more? So.
Well, it seems like a lot of the smaller games, like, that, you know, aim small... And you'll get,
but it's also
you have
got,
a lot more room for like if you say like you know this is it's a side scroller, you don't have to put into all of this crazy stuff, you can put a lot more into like what the game means to you,
yeah,
instead of like what can the game do,
mm-hmm.
you know, how does it make you feel,
yeah.
It tells a story
because
it really
gets
you
involved,
yeah, it gets you like attached to the character, so
but man, like these smaller games are like. I've just been really impressing me lately, and I think that's where I'm going to be spending most of my money from now on, because, like, Helldivers, well, like, worth it, like, fourfold.
Oh, yeah. Like, no, that's what I was saying about, you know, and we're kind of on Helldivers right now, but the thing about this game is, like, it's so good. Everything that you...
It worked at launch.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Everything and one thing that I love about this game is that they don't give you any tips on how to deal with anything. You literally, if you are new to the game, you are new to the game. When you drop in,
learn
you better
by,
figure out how to do it, or you're going to
your
freaking
mistakes,
get
basically.
Put down
yeah.
quick. Like you gotta figure out what the enemies do, or be with a high level person who understands what's happening.
Like I was watching this one group play it on YouTube, and. The dropship came in, and they didn't realize that it was like going to land on the ground and squish them. And so like three of them were underneath it, and so like it just lands and squishes all three of them. And then the guy's just like, oh, and he just hops in the ship. Like they don't know what to do. It's like you literally learn
so
from dying in that game. Basically.
Yeah, I just want to throw out something based on that.
2 minutes.
I did a. I was playing with some guys. I just got in because I was waiting for you to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got in. I was playing with some dudes. And there were two guys. And which, by the way, it's not easy to get into a game because you have to keep hitting refresh. And you have to try to click on the thing before someone else jumps in because there's not – like most of them are full.
Right.
So I get in and I'm like, yes, I got in. So I drop in. I hop out. They just got done killing the guys that were around us.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy goes, hey, I'm going to drop my Jeep. But I didn't have my headset on.
Man.
I didn't have my headset on at the time. But the guy said – he goes – it's a big Jeep. Get away from the drop point. So we all back up. Drops the Jeep. Worked just fine. He got in the driver's seat. I got in the big gun. So we're sitting there, right? And it's me, the driver, and a guy on the side turret, right? Our fourth guy comes in and lands on top of our Jeep. Kills all three of us. Destroys the Jeep. Gets out. He's a level 3.
It's hilarious how hard that game it is.
And then the guy is just running around with a shotgun on like a challenging, like a hard
yeah.
mission, and doesn't know how to spawn people back. So he's just freaking out, like running in circles trying to shoot stuff. And we're like clicking the button to like, hey, come on, come on, come on. So finally he just stops, lets himself die.
Gosh.
And I was like, oh my
but
God.
Yeah, it's hilarious how hard that game it is. But this is going to have to... be the end of our show. We're hitting our time.
We can talk a little bit more next week.
Yeah, yeah. Helldivers, great game. Go check it out. Go buy it. $19.99 on PSN, on everything.
It's cheaper
anyways.
If you're PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, it's a little bit
cheaper. $2 or something. Like
so, this has been episode number 23 of the Couch Co-op Podcast. If you like the show, share it with your friends. please, on Twitter, Facebook, or whatever, you can follow us on Twitter, at couchco_op.
You're really in a rush,
right? Yeah, well, I'm trying to get to the time point, so don't interrupt me. And you can follow us on twitch.tv/couchco_op and watch all of our streams there whenever we do stream. If you have any questions, email them in to joe@couchcoop.net so that you can be a part of the show and be a part of the conversation. We enjoy you guys listening very much. We appreciate it. We love you guys. And we will.
If we had more time, we would talk more, but we gotta go.
Yeah, we will see you next week. We're out.